It's Chevy truck season, and there's no better time to do what you do best. No better time to get the job done in a Chevy Silverado with best-in-class standard torque and a Turbomax engine with a 5-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty that outlasts both Ford and Ram. So kick off whatever your thing is season right, because it all starts with a Chevy truck.
See your Bay Area Chevy dealers today.
Based on latest competitive data, excludes other GM vehicles, whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details based on Ford and Ram 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty on gasoline engines.
All right, we bring in the third base coach. He's got a new number, but you know where he is. You know what he looks like. You know he can field those foul balls, and that is Ron Wotus. Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, and it's great to be on the radio with a Bay Area Hall of Famer this morning, Marty.
Okay. I appreciate it. It takes two to tango, though, but it's all the guests that make the show, really. But I'm glad to have you on today. Hey, the ball was flying yesterday. 5 homers for the Giants, 8 overall in the ballpark. You've been in this ballpark for a long time. And I'm wondering, the handshake, you know, you got 5 different guys hitting home runs. How do you remember what the handshake is?
You know, that is probably the most difficult part of my job right now. I can't remember the last time I waved somebody in. And, you know, it's interesting, you get a new player up here. And, of course, it's something you don't go over right away. Oh, what are you going to do when you come around on a home run? But I found myself starting to do it because it seems like everybody we call up, they're hitting home runs. So after I hit a couple, I have to go to them and say, hey, what are we going to do here? We got to look like we're in sync, and then we work it out.
Well, what do you got cooking here? Wade hit one yesterday. Whoa, this guy's got dynamite in his bat. The bat speed is there. Well, what's the handshake with Wade?
Well, we go down low, and we go down low, and he's a little Hunter Pence-like, and some of these other guys, Nick Hundley-like, and where they almost rip my hand off. I mean, Hunter did it up top. Wade, I go down low. I get real low, and he slaps it, and he looks back at me, and he's yelling and grunting and snorting when he comes around third. It's pretty fun for me, too, when he hits a home run. I enjoy seeing him that happy.
All right, now Solano had a big home run yesterday to get the scoring going against Greinke. And what about Solano?
Yeah, he's more subdued, you know. Solano, his handshake before the game, you have a little heads up on this stuff because, you know, they all have handshakes before the game. And, you know, me being my boring self, I usually had the traditional handshake that I learned when I was a kid. And but with Solano, you know, he's a Christian, and he gives the knuckles, and then he points up to the Lord. He points up to the sky. So when he comes around third, we hit knuckles and we both point up. And that's very unique. And that's his handshake.
I like that. I'm going to have to watch for that one. All right, what about Flores? Flores, well, I'll tell you something. Well, and you said it last week, the guy can hit. Big home run yesterday. It tied the score 3-3 off Greinke. What about Flores?
Yeah, Flo, a professional hitter. You know, we like to say always been a good hitter in this league. He comes around, and he takes his fist, and it's like a punch to the gut, you know, like you're hitting somebody, and we both punch each other's gut, but we don't hit each other. We miss each other. So that's a fun one. That's a fun one. That's about as exciting as it gets for me. So I hope I do it a lot more before the season's over.
Oh, come on. You got 156 home runs. And, you know, look, you still have 58 games to go. We're looking over 200, undoubtedly, here. All right, what about Ruff? And I said it on the show today. Well, this guy has been a fabulous pickup. He's picked up the pace for Belt being out. But he's another guy. You put the pitch in the right spot, and he kills it.
Yeah, he's having a good year. And he's hitting home runs, just not against left-handers, but right-handers. He's always been a good hitter. He's getting a little bit more of an opportunity to play. And we all know consistent at-bats will give you the best chance to show what you can do. And he's taken full advantage of it, and he's been a big force for us in the lineup. You know, he's the one guy that I have to coordinate because we were off step a couple times in his home run. It was high five. It was low five. I finally had to go talk to him. He's hitting so many homers. So we're going to stay with the high five.
High five for him. Okay, all right. How about Yaz? Now, of course, he's got the pedigree, Carl Yastrzemski and all that. I can't imagine he gets too animated.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, you can't repeat the same, the home run thing, right? You can't repeat it. So we go up high with the hand, and we get the knuckles up high above the head. And, you know, I make some comment to him about his Polish descent and nice going, and we hit knuckles like that.
I like it. All right, one more, and then we'll move on. Posey, what does he do?
Well, Posey's just, you know, he's kind of like Longo, where, you know, Longo gives the traditional, you know, handshake like we all done growing up. And Posey's right in between that. He'll give that little tap, little slap on your hand, and nothing too dramatic. You put your hand out there, and he'll slap it and then continue on to score his run.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He had a big smile during the Dodgers series when Bellinger airmailed the throw in third base. Well, this is a good baseball moment here and a good teaching moment for the professor. So let's go through it a little bit. The ball is hit, and Yaz is in between first and second. So Posey ended up with a big smile on this play.
Yeah. You know, it was runners on first and second. Pose was on second, and Yaz was on first. The ground ball was hit, and it was one of those where the second baseman, you know, got the ball. And if he tried to go to second, the batter runner might have beat it out. So he was in line with Yaz. He kind of ran him back to first and threw to first and got that out for the first out. Now, Yaz is hung up in the middle of the field, right? Typically, you would take the ball and throw it to the shortstop and get Yaz out on the double play. But, you know, I thought Bellinger outthunk himself, if I can say that. Outthunk himself. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you said it. So, why not?
Okay. Yeah, I said it. Why not? You know, Posey took a big, hard turn around third. But I don't think that had anything to do with Bellinger. I think what he wanted to do was make a great play. Because when he caught the ball at first, instead of getting Yaz and executing the run down there and keeping, you know, the slower foot pose at third, he faked the shortstop. He did an arm fake trying to suck Posey into breaking home, I believe. And then he turned and threw to third. And, of course, he airmailed it. And Posey was able to score. And everybody said that Muncie got in his way when he was throwing the ball to third. But all he had to do was get Yaz where he was hung up, and the shortstop would have caught the ball. He would have had the whole play in front of him, you know, running Yaz back to first. He can keep an eye on Posey, execute the run down, and it's over. And that play won us the game. You know, he faked the second, threw to third, threw wild, and we got the go-ahead run.
How high was that throw?
That was very close to being as high as Ruben Rivera's throw from the outfield one year. That went over the backstop at home plate, almost ended up in the press box. It was okay. Up there pretty good.
All right, very good. All right, good explanation. Yeah, you take the double play, and where's Posey going? You know, he's not going to, you know, get in any crazy play at the plate. So, yeah, he outthunk himself on that one. We posted a picture yesterday, went all over the Internet. It was a great picture of you and Mike Murphy. And your new number 8, and it's the Hunter Pence number. And, whoa, there's a story that goes with it. Of course, you had to change numbers, number 8. And Chris Bryant is going to get 23. So what's the story behind it? They loved it on the Internet.
Yeah, well, you know, this isn't the first time you give up your number to a player coming in. And we're so happy to have Chris and matter of fact, he just walked in here. I'm in the stadium, and he just walked in with our traveling guys on the field and into the dugout. So I'm sure they'll be seeing the video of that soon, the people that are watching TV. But I was shagging in left field, and Brad Grimes, who's our clubhouse guy now, he comes walking out on the field. Now, he's never out on the field. And he comes walking. He gets 20 yards from me in left field. I said, I know what you want. You want my number. because, you know, there's no other reason for him to be walking, making a beeline to me. I just knew that was what was going on, because about 5 other times in my career here in San Francisco, I get the phone call from the great Mike Murphy. And Murph would call me in the winter. You know, we'd sign Tim Hudson or somebody, and he'd go, whoa, I got good news and bad news. I said, Murph, give me the good news. He goes, well, we just signed Tim Hudson. I said, okay. He goes, the bad news is he wants your number. So this was our bet with Murph many, many times. So when I got the new number, Murph was real good. He brought me the new number. Obviously, Grimm's got it all set up for us, and we decided to take a picture with it. And there's the little story behind it. And I thought, you know, in talking to Brad, you know, he was holding back number 8. He gave me a choice of all these numbers if I agreed to give up my number. And none of them appealed to me except number 8. And I says, why do you have 8? He goes, well, it was Hunter's number. I was just holding it back. I think he was holding it back hoping that Hunter would come out of retirement and wear the thing again. So I told him, look, I said, 8's very appealing. I love the way Hunter played. You know, I love him to death. I have a lot of respect for him. I'd be honored to wear number 8. Why don't you text Hunter and ask him if that would be okay with him, because I'd be honored to wear it the rest of the season. Of course, he said absolutely. And there's the story behind the number 8.
I love it. All right. And the picture was terrific. You had a big bottle of tequila in the picture, though. Someone commented on that.
Yeah, a bottle of tequila, wine. It's close to our little bar there in the clubhouse. We just have one. We're very, very sensible, you know, after the game. But, you know, once in a while you have one just to settle the nerves.
Very good. You said Chris Bryant came in. Well, did you come in this morning, walk down that hallway to see the food today?
I sure did. And it made me think of you. I saw the vegetables. You know, the potatoes were stacked up, and I've never had the garlic fries. Can you believe that? All the years I've been here, and I haven't had a garlic fry. So I'm going to have to get one of those in the clubhouse. And the other thing that came to mind is how you like to always talk about the food and everything is the hot dog bun. You know, the hot dog bun doesn't look like it's changed since the game was invented. I don't know if it has or it hasn't, but it's that same hot dog bun. I'm surprised they don't have a double bun, you know, where you can put two hot dogs in it. Or something of that nature. You got any information on the hot dog bun there, Marty?
Well, it goes back to Coney Island and, you know, the Stevens Company, right? There used to be the caterers, I think, the concessionaires. I think they came up with it. But Chef T, he's one of our listeners, right? Chef Toussaint there. We could talk to him. He could make that happen. And I'll guarantee if Chef T is listening, you'll have garlic fries for lunch today in the ballpark, and no one's going to go near you afterwards, but you'll have them.
That's okay. That's good. I'll make sure if there's a bad call, the umpire gets a dose.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, you know Chef T. You know, he's a great baseball fan. Great baseball fan.
Very much so.
Chris Bryant, and we don't know him that well. Look, he looks like a great kid. He is a third baseman. You're the third base coach. You've always given us a little bit of insight into the guys who are playing third. What do you think about Chris Bryant? What's your take on him?
Well, you know, first off, he's always very respectful. And, he appears to be pretty quiet to me, and that's the rundown I got from people. You know, he's quiet, keeps to himself, but a very good teammate. And we know how good of a player is, and that's the most important thing. I mean, we got a player in the prime of his career. He fits perfectly for us. You know, he can play against righties and lefties. He's not a guy that I expect that we'd be platooning. He gives you a presence in the lineup. And a lot of people don't know he's an outstanding base runner. And this is what I've been told. But so happy to have him. You know, we've rubbed elbows in an all-star game before, so I got to talk to him a little bit. But as you said, I don't know him very well. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know him. And obviously we'll give him the signs today, and he'll be in the lineup. So, exciting day for us here in San Francisco.
Yeah, this is a big deal, bringing him in. And I go back to 2011 with Beltran coming in. It didn't work out, but it was that kind of player, a guy who's got some real credentials coming in. And, well, just in the clubhouse itself, when someone like that walks in, what do you expect the reaction to be?
Well, it gives you a boost of confidence. You know, it really is a trading deadline. Everybody's always on pins and needles. You know, the players too, because we're in first place. You want to win, and you're hoping that you get better, and you're excited about the possibilities of the players that you can get. And immediately, when you sign a guy like Chris Bryant, there's a feeling of let's go. It boosts your confidence. It boosts your energy. And now it's a matter of going out and doing it. But it really does. And, you know, conversely, the few times that we're on the other side of it, you don't do anything. It's a letdown. You see everybody else getting better. So big addition for us, along with Tony Watson, who will solidify that bullpen for us a little bit, give us another left-hander that's been there and done that. We know how much of a pro he is and what he can bring to the club, just not on the mound, but just his presence alone. So, we're excited to have both these guys.
Yeah, he's my philosopher. We got him back.
That's great. That's great. You have to get him on the air.
Yeah, every other Friday. He was terrific. We did that for a couple of years. Talking with our third base coach, Ron Wotus, number 8 now. And by the way, did Pence respond to you? Did you know you didn't offer him and he didn't offer you anything, nothing like that?
Yeah, no. I mean, I texted him a picture with the name and the number on it there, and I said thanks a lot, and I'm sending you some Sweet Emotion. If you remember, that was his walk-up song, Aerosmith, Sweet Emotion. It was one of my favorite walk-up songs for the players, and I always loved that when they played it, and he came to the plate, and the energy that he brought, so he just, you know, texted back, go get him, and he's happy to do it, so it was nice to reach out to him.
God, that's a good one, number 8. Very good. I like it, and it has a good story to it. Hey, during the week, Mike Yastrzemski, maybe it was on Friday night, took ball 4. Unfortunately, it was ball 3, and he started going down to first base. What do you think of that?
Well, I was on board with it. I said, did they change the rules again? That'd be great. send them down to first. I was hoping the umpires didn't notice, to be honest with you. But they did. You don't see it very often, but once in a while it happens, you know. You're at the plate, and I've seen it before. And it was a little surprising that it happened to Yaz, but it happened. And I think he ended up walking. He struck out, yeah. So maybe that messed with his head a little bit.
Yeah, you've seen that before. I'm sure players lose
yes,
track.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you lose track. You're just not 100% sure, and it happens.
You just stand there and watch, though. You don't say anything.
Well, if it's, not really, because, you know, everybody looks when that happens. You go, is that 3 balls? Is that 4? You know, for a minute there, you're not sure if you have the count right. So typically that's what goes through your head for the initial reaction.
What do you think about the Astros, and especially from your perspective? I mean, you got guys who have to make relay throws. You've got outfielders. You know, their outfield defense Friday night, boy, that Yordan Alvarez in left field, he saved the game for him, but he was a project. What do you think of what you've got to deal with the Astros?
Well, you don't see them a lot. So, you know, the number one thing is you try to, you know, watch as much video on the outfielders throwing, and you can't always get it because there's not that many plays. So I typically call, you know, other third base coaches in the league that's seen the Astros a lot and get information from them. And you're right, Alvarez, he's basically a DH, so we knew that he would have a tough time here. I mean, good outfielders have a tough time with the wind here, and he battled a couple throws. Our runners did a good job tagging up on him on a ball that was pretty shallow because of the way he caught it. The other outfielders are solid. They all throw average. They have some speed out there, and they're a very good club. I mean, they don't have the record that they have for no reason. So, I mean, they can play the game. They can really hit. Obviously, they grind at bats. And, of course, they have one of my all-time favorites leading the helm in Dusty Baker. And I've never seen a Dusty Baker club that wasn't in the middle of it when it comes September.
How do you like Correa as being a relay guy?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, that's one thing Phil Nevin told me. He says on relays, Correa goes out, you know, typically when the ball's in the left center field gap, the shortstop goes out first. But the way the Astros play it, and for good reason, when the ball goes to right center, Correa's going to go out, and Altuve's going to be behind them. They want the ball in Correa's arm. And this guy can really, really throw. I mean, he's one guy that you do not want to test. He's accurate, and he's got one of the best relay arms in the game. So really watch in a relay throw whether the ball ends up in Correa's arm or Altuve's arm. It could make a difference in whether you send a guy or hold a guy.
Boy, Altuve, what a hitter, Will. What a hitter.
Oh, my. He really is. I mean, this guy, I'm so impressed with him. I've seen him over the years. He leads his team in home runs, right? Well, who would have thought, or if you meet this guy, you say, really, you got 25 home runs, you lead the Astros in home runs? You say, there's no way. You're pulling my leg, aren't you, pal? Anyways, he's been a great player in this league, and he continues to do it. But to your point, Marty, he's a tough out. It's hard to throw him a pitch he can't hit. He hit that ball out of the ballpark the other day. Was in his eyes. It was head level, and he hit a home run. So those guys are dangerous. You know, they hit the ball off the plate, And he doesn't miss the ball when it's on the play. Tough to strike out. He's been a great player in this league.
Boy, good Sunday morning. Good Sunday morning conversation. Brian is here. Watson's here. You guys are in first place by 3 games. It's the Astros. Good baseball for August 1st. And I was thinking about River Islands today, and we talked a lot about the different homes last week. But and Laurie does this too, going online and seeing the floor plans, because then you can make your appointment to see the homes. But do you like that? Can you actually get a good view of what the home looks like?
Well, you can, and it definitely helps you in the beginning process. You hear about a place, and, you know, who has the time always to get in the car and drive out and take a look at things? All you have to do is go to your computer and get a feel for what they have. And once you look at things online there and see everything that they have to offer, just not the floor plan, you know, all the other things that they have, the lakes, the, you know, the activities, it's all there on the website. So, yeah, we do it. Lori does it. You know, you start off online. You look at things. You can get a good feel for if it's a place you want to look at or not. And, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking about this today. River Islands, who named that? Did Colleen name that place, or was it Yogi Berra involved with that? Because River Islands, that's a great name. You start thinking about it. You don't see too many islands and rivers, but you do. And what a fitting name with all the water they have out there and the way it's set up. It's a really cool place.
I love it. I love it. I love going out there. Hey, well, have a great day today. And, boy, this is an exciting time of year, really exciting. And next week we'll be talking to you from Milwaukee. So have a great day today and have a good week.
Marty, great being with you, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. All right. That is our third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, number 8, Ron Wotus. All right, Bill Lasky, good morning. How are you?
How are you doing on a happy Chris Bryant Sunday?
Yeah, boy, this is a big day at the ballpark today. Really, a very exciting day at the ballpark.
Yeah, good win last night. Kept that momentum going into today's game and third game of the series against a real tough Houston Astro team. So it should be a pretty good day today at Oracle Park.
Well, I'm thinking, I'm looking forward to Jim Barr, who's coming on with you. He is, for me, the pitching guru. You know, I'm anxious to hear what he's got to say about Webb and Gausman and Wood and DeSclafani and Cueto and all that. But the guy today for the Astros, Luis Garcia, he may be their best pitcher.
I tell you what, he's going to bring that fastball, Marty. Clocked it in 98, 99 consistently. He's got a good sinker, got the split finger, slider, everything moving, plus high velocity. So Giants better bring their A game against this guy because he's got some great stuff going to come at him on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, he doesn't walk a lot either, and he's got that good strikeout pitch. It's a good series. You know, bounce back, home runs, bounce back. It's been good. So, all right, we'll take a break. I'm looking forward to Jim Barr talking with Bill next, right here. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
It's Chevy truck season, and there's no better time to do what you do best. No better time to get the job done in a Chevy Silverado with best-in-class standard torque and a TurboMax engine with a 5-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty that outlasts both Ford and Ram. So kick off whatever your thing is season right, because it all starts with a Chevy truck.
See your Bay Area Chevy dealers today.
Based on latest competitive data, excludes other GM vehicles, whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details based on Ford and Ram 5-year 60,000-mile warranty on gasoline engines.